Big Billy got picked on at school for things he couldn't change. He tried his best to play it cool, but in the seventh grade, you either fit right in or you don't fit. That's just the cold hard truth. I wish that I'd have been the friend that Billy never knew. I think it's time we come together, you and I can make a change. Maybe we can make a difference, make the world a better place. Look around and love somebody, we've been hateful long enough. Let the good Lord reunite us to this country that loves undivided.
Yup. You either go to church or you're gonna go to hell. Get a job and
top
work
of the second
or you're
hour.
Gonna go to jail. I just kinda wish we didn't think like that.
Top of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast this Wednesday, February 1st, 2023. And, you know, this rabbit hole goes, you just go off a cliff real quick. If you start diving down this rabbit hole, it gets real dark. So without going too far into the abyss, so to speak, we'll try to keep it sort of light, sort of friendly as much as is possible. When it comes to the, you know, we're going from the implant stuff that we're playing in the first hour. Again, the objective here is not to terrify and terrorize anyone, not to induce or further induce trauma-based mind control and inure the general populace. This is not a War of the Worlds kind of thing. It's not some kind of, you know, test and measure psychological operation. This is just an effort to inform people's discretion and hopefully help people mobilize to right action. And what does that mean? What is right action? Well, I would say in my humble estimation, it's always as the Spirit leads. So the Holy Spirit is the best defense against all of this nonsense. And, you know, the Holy Spirit is outside of the bounds of the technocratic control grid, which extends far beyond most people's realization. And just as a basic example of what I'm talking about, I would remind you that the interwebs have been always, first and foremost, a military project. It began as the ARPANET, and there's evidence to believe that it has never diverted from that course. So, you know, all of the social monitoring mechanisms that we have available today, especially in the big tech platforms, people are observing what happens as, you know, social discourse in the town hall is absorbed into these private organizations. And the concerns, again, they sprawl in a million different directions, whether it's the work of Michael Kaczynski, for example, represented in the Cambridge Analytica stuff, where Kaczynski says, remember the article? Mentioned it many times, the data that turned the world upside down. Kaczynski says he can tell more about a person based on a series of likes than their colleagues can tell about them, friends, family, spouse, and even with enough likes, not things you post, just things you like on Facebook, for example, you know, and like is a relative term here, obviously, things that you click the little like, you know, thumbs up, those emojis and that feedback is not for you. It's to monitor the social mechanism, so to speak, the social animal. I'll get to more on that in a minute. Whether it's that or the stuff that I'm talking about today, the tentacles spiral off in a thousand directions. It's everywhere you look. And so, you know, in simple terms, what's the best advice? Well, Jaron Lanier, who is considered the father of virtual reality technology, the guy who wrote the book, You Are Not a Gadget, a manifesto, which I would say is the anti-Kurzweilian manifesto. It's the anti-Age of Spiritual Machines kind of manifesto, in my humble opinion. Be a real person, not an actor, not a character, not an, you know, a first person or non-playable character. Be a real, living, breathing person. Think for yourself. Jaron Lanier's advice is get off social media. If you go to his website, which is, you know, very crude by today's standards, JaronLanier.com. Gosh, that's crude. What is that? Just HTML with a little hackish CSS there in the head of the document? Man, that's crude HTML. Yep. If anyone could write something better or use something better or employ someone to do something better, it's certainly Jaron Lanier. Why did he go on a media junket in the last few years telling people, get off social media? Why do you write a book? 10 Arguments for Deleting Your Social Media Accounts Right Now. That's the title of the book. 10 Arguments for Deleting Your Social Media Accounts Right Now. Why did he do it? Why did he do it? And on his website, the banner reads, no, Jaron does not have a Twitter account, no Reddit account, no Facebook account. They are all fake, fake, fake. Why doesn't Jaron Lanier have a Twitter account or a Facebook? How does he communicate with the world? Why would the father of virtual reality tell everyone to dump social media right now? I don't think we'll play the Carl Cameron piece in the interest of time, at least right now. But, you know, there was the four-part series back in 2001, December 2001. You may recall something big happened in September of 2001 that was not, you know, despite what folks like Condoleezza Rice and George Bush and others said, I don't think anyone, well, yeah, actually, you guys war gamed it. And it was in television shows like The X-Files and things, flying planes into buildings, which goes back to Northwoods, quite frankly. Operation Northwoods and the highest levels of military brass, the Joint Chiefs, planning to shoot down commercial airliners and bomb malls. Blame it on the people that we wanted to bomb. False flag stuff. So, yes, obviously the public was told, I don't think anyone. However, in reality, our own military had been planning contingencies and scenarios along this very line. So Carl Cameron puts out a piece, very controversial. It was actually a four-part series, supposed to be 12 parts. But it ended up going away for obvious reasons. The first four segments were aired on Fox News in December 2001. And they were on the Fox News website for 2 weeks and then gone. Centering around Israeli spying. This is a much deeper issue. And you quickly dive off into, you know, Whitney Webb territory, for example, and all of the work that she has done recently, you know, particularly centered around her books, the two books in particular, volumes one and volume two, I guess is what they are, volume one and volume two. One Nation Under Blackmail, volume one, and One Nation Under Blackmail, volume two. It's, what is it? Volume two is 900 pages. Volume one is, I think, 700 or 800. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. So, you know, you can dive way down this rabbit hole real quick. There were, you know, some pieces way back when. Justin Raimondo wrote some stuff, Now You See It, Now You Don't, over at antiwar.com. For the past week or so, I have been writing about the ominous implications of Carl Cameron's four-part Fox News expose of Israeli intelligence operations in the U.S. My most recent column on the subject was posted today, December 21. Cameron's reports are, of course, key to understanding. We provided links to these reports in the column and fully expected the links to remain valid, as Fox usually keeps its stories up for a month or so, but not this time. And let's just see, speaking of those kinds of things, Fox News, is the Bin Laden story still up? Sure is. FoxNews.com/story/report Bin Laden already dead, all hyphenated. Published, well, this says January 13, 2015. That's not accurate. It was originally published December 26th, 2001. So it's, you know, but it's interesting now it's January 13, 2015. They're saying it was published. Report Bin Laden already dead. Why is that still up, but Carl Cameron's series is not? Osama bin Laden has died a peaceful death. And it's funny, if you update the date, then all of a sudden it seems like a nothing burger. But if you realize this was published December 26, 2001 originally, well, then that means something entirely different, doesn't it? Anyway, that's still up. Carl Cameron's series is not. So as Justin Raimondo observed all those years ago, what the heck, man? What gives? Speaking of Justin Raimondo, he also wrote The Secret War. Pre-9/11, we fought a covert war on American soil against Israel. Some people will, you know, here we insert, again, down the rabbit hole we go. You know, we have Christopher Bolin, for example, James Perloff and many other folks. We have Dancing Israelis and Urban Moving and all kinds of other fun stuff that we could talk about that most people have never heard of. So in Justin Raimondo's piece, he mentions, you know, the report on Fox News contains no quoted source. It has no way of demonstrated. This is from the Jerusalem Post. Mark Regev, a spokesman for the Israeli embassy in Washington, is quoted in the Jerusalem Post as saying, "The report on Fox News contains no quoted source. It has in no way demonstrated anything more than anonymous innuendo and should be regarded accordingly. Israel does not spy on the United States of America." And so Justin Raimondo adds, gee, Mark, does the name Jonathan Pollard ring a bell? Who was released after spending 30 years in prison a couple of years ago, 3 years ago now, 2020. So, for those who don't know, Jonathan Pollard was the former U.S. Naval Intelligence Analyst who pled guilty to spying for Israel in 1987. And was released in 2020. And again, this is a deep, dark dive down rabbit hole. You know, and again, you bump into the stories of Epstein and Robert Maxwell and so on and so on very quickly. I mean, it's a really, really tangled web. Again, if you're interested, Whitney Webb is perhaps the foremost authority at this point on this tangled web of nonsense. So what does this have to do with anything? Well, speaking of Carl Cameron and his piece, you know, again, Infosys comes up, and there is this soundbite. See if I can find that. Where is the transcript for that? Carl Cameron said it, and he nailed it. Why is this a thing? Here it is. Yeah. I think this is it, isn't it? Basically, the idea of self-preservation motivation. Yeah, here it is. In fact, we probably should just play the clip. So Carl Cameron said a defense intelligence report said Israel has a voracious appetite for information and said, quote, the Israelis are motivated by strong survival instincts which dictate every possible facet of their political and economic policies. It aggressively collects military and industrial technology, and the U.S. is a high priority target. The document concludes, Cameron said, Israel possesses the resources and technical capability to achieve its collection objectives. Again, you know, if you're not familiar, Unit 8200, Tal Piot is in everything tech these days, speaking of Infosys, which, if it wasn't suspect itself, acquired Panaya, Israeli automation technology company. Which is kind of where I'm going, and I should wrap this thought up because, like I said, it's a deep, dark dive down into this rabbit hole. What is the point of all of this, Chris? What are you trying to say? So the Israelis are very good at spying and very good at cyber warfare. You know, Stuxnet is a great example. How did that – what happened? How were the Iranian centrifuges – overclocked and spun out to, you know, destroy them? Oh, it was American and Israeli intelligence. That's who it was. Got it. And that was a Business Insider article. That's just mainstream stuff. What does all of this have to do with what we're talking about now? Well, there were a couple of financial Economic Times of India stories regarding the Infosys Panaya deal. They're actually linked in the Wikipedia entry for Infosys. You can find them there regarding the Panaya acquisition. And the one article published, well, last updated February 13, 2017, titled Infosys, I believe this is the one. Where's the other one? I apologize. No. This is the first one. Infosys buys automation technology startup Panaya. And it opens thusly. From Mumbai, Infosys is buying a startup that helps companies manage major changes to their software systems and for signature acquisition, etc., etc. It's much more than that. The major changes go far beyond the software. Anyway, skipping to the chase because we're running out of time. I'm burning daylight here. From the document, and this, you know, well, I'll finish with the context when we come back. The interwebs began when? Officially, you know, when Al Gore invented the internet. I wonder if we could find that clip. Stick around. We'll be right back after this short break.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
Consider this. Dead people see only what they want to see. And frankly, most of us are still dead. Let me give you the lessons of gold and five easy lessons. Number one, don't buy it because you need to make money. You buy gold because you need to protect the money you already have. Don't ever look at the price as a barrier. Look at it as an incentive. Number three, don't buy its paper pretenders. We talked about that a lot. Buy gold. Buy the real thing in the form of coins and bullion. Fourth, don't fall prey to glitzy television or Facebook ads. Do your due diligence instead. And that's what I try to provide you with and have for 26 and a half years on the air and 30 years in this profession. Fifth, don't allow naysayers to divert your interest. Allow yourself the right to protect your interests as you see fit. Jeff Bennett here. One of the ways you can do that is to contact Kettle Moraine Limited. Contact me by calling or texting me at 602-799-8214. 602-799-8214. You can also email me at kettlemoraineltd@cox.net. Let me help you protect your wealth and your family today. Once again, call or text us at 602-799-8214 or visit our website, SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com. Be glad to help you out. Be glad to answer your questions. That's what we're here for. No pressure, just good, hard, common sense. The decision then becomes up to you.
Welcome back. I think we will play the first installment of the four-part series by Carl Cameron just as a, you know, by way of background and reminder and refresher and all of that. And then we'll get to the other stuff. First, though, let's go to the phones and do that real quick. Pat in Fort Worth. Pat in Texas, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Thanks. I'm sorry that I don't know everything you're talking about. James Harlow, I got into a discussion with him on the air on Herzog's show yesterday. And this is the way I see things, but this is the way he sees it. he said that, I said, do you know that Netanyahu has a book called Bibi? And they all went into, they both went into a tailspin. And I said, what's the matter with that? And they said, it's my recollection. It'll be replayed over, I'll hear it again. And I said, I'm thinking, if you want to know a person, read his own autobiography, right? I said, like, you know, if people would read Jesus' autobiography, they'd be a lot better off. You know? Well, they used to argue that all over the place on IBN, too. But really, I have my own way of looking. And then he went into 9/11, well, after 9/11. And I said, you don't have any proof of any of that. I said, this is the way I see 9/11. For years, people have been stolen from in this country, farmlands, everything. You know, and everybody knows all that. They know all that. But anyway, I just said, what happened is I was told that Nasara Jassara was going into effect on 9/11.
And you know, it's interesting you mention that because, you know, you say we have no proof of these things, and then you mention that.
Well,
isn't that interesting?
Let me finish.
I'm just asking, don't you think that's ironic?
No.
Okay.
It depends on how, you know, your
Do you
intel.
Have any proof of Nasara Jassara?
Do you have any proof that Israelis did that 9/11?
I have more proof than there is of the Nasara Jassara nonsense.
Because, okay, look, this is the way I look at stuff, Chris. If people came in, I think Ava said this, if people came and took over our country, like people have come and taken over Tel Aviv, and I'm glad that Trump...
Let me just say this. We got to, in the interest of time, we don't have a whole bunch of time to unpack all this stuff, but in simple terms, when it comes to the Nasara Jassara nonsense, what we're implying is that Satan will cast out Satan. The same, essentially, when you boil it all down, the same financial types that created the problem are going to ride in on a white horse as savior and restore order, and the pirates are going to give back what they stole. It's absurd. It's ludicrous, quite frankly.
Well, there are books out there. I'm not prepared today to give you the names of all of them, but almost half of what I hear from young spouts these days, that's not the way that I think it really happened.
Well, you're entitled to your view, obviously.
Well, I'm 80. I tell my niece, you know, I didn't get to be 80. Stupid. I mean, I've forgotten a lot of stuff. And I'm glad RBN, and I need to apologize to you. I need a new dictionary for all the words that are going on these days because I guess I bypassed it,
Or maybe we should throw those words out and just go back to the previous dictionaries with the previous meanings of things as language is being rewritten.
I used the word technocrat. Well, you sure taught me what that was, Chris. I love it. See, that's what we're here for. We're here to learn. You never stop learning. I don't care how old you are.
Well, your parents' generation was rock solid, salt of the earth, and even they were beguiled into things like World War II. So, anyway, we got to move on. Pat, I appreciate your call, as always. Much appreciated. Folks, stick around. We'll be right back after this short break.
The truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Tune in Saturday mornings, 8 to 10 Central, to the Alternative Media with your host, Farron. If you've not been listening, this is some of what you've been missing.
2,000 mules, like you like to say occasionally, Farron, in your face.
They might have a set of lactating mammaries available that could provide milk for their adopted children.
Listen, news media, all pulling off this gigantic fraud.
Rhino, neocon, cucks.
There's this wonderful thing that's called Vote With Your Feet. Move to California.
I am a conspiracy factualist, and everyone else is a reality theorist.
Hundreds, if not thousands, of ships came out of nowhere.
Give me liberty, or let's give you death.
Any excuse to go and kill yourself for this fraud of a government. This goes back 100 years.
When they come for your gold, give them a lead. And when they come for your guns, give them the bullets first. And God help us all.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on long-term food storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Back to the phones in the interest of time. Mike in Kentucky.
Hey.
Good morning and welcome.
Hey, sorry, can you hear me?
Nope.
I goofed up.
Go ahead.
Can you hear me? I dropped the phone.
You're on the air.
Okay, I didn't know. I thought I've done that before and I accidentally hit the mute button. So, hey, a lot of people I've heard talking about this. You mentioned it last hour, the grain of rice, glass encapsulated, radio frequency, RFID. Back in 92 or so, maybe, 93, I was listening to AM radio because I got tired of music radio, and I came across For the People Radio Network, and then I called him up and ordered up a catalog of all his bookstore stuff, and hit one of them, one of the selections, I think was a package deal. You know, you got some kind of videotapes and a couple of books. And so I got a book by Terry Cook that was called The Mark of the Beast, and it had all these magazine advertisements and that went all the way back to like 1983 or 82. The equine and large animal industry had first adopted those. They were made by Destron and Texas Instruments and IBM, and some of them were a little bit bigger than a grain of rice. They were longer, but you know, I was kind of alarmed about those, hearing about them. And then I figured out sometime later that it's kind of a, it's not the RFID that's important, it's the database. And working on and video games and stuff.
While we're at it, it's not so much the database as it is the metadata, which gets back to my point about meta and schema and meta schematizo, biblically speaking. Go ahead.
Okay, well, what I'm getting at is all these technologies that they're trying to move us into, electronic e-commerce and all that, they have major problems. And even your own biometrics has major problems. If you use your face or thumb, and maybe even your voice at this point, to use those as passwords, you know, to open up devices, they have the same problem that the RFID has, in that those unique identifiers, you can't change like you can change your own. If a password gets hijacked out of a database, you can change it. But you cannot change your data, the algorithms they claim that your thumbprint or fingerprint makes. I ran into a guy, and I told him, I said, you know, you're getting people's fingerprints when you're doing that. And he says, no, it just makes an algorithm. In 1999, I knew a geek, a computer guy, that installed a finger scanner so you could get into a fitness club in Mount Sterling, Kentucky. And I said, that thing is creating a database of everybody's fingerprints or whichever finger they use. And he said, no, it just makes an algorithm. It didn't take a year or so longer, and it came out, yes, that scans an image of your fingerprint, which is, you know, usable, and thanks to the Talpiot program and William Benny's division at the NSA, they gave, in about 1996 or 97, they gave the software that they had developed to capture all this metadata in the program called X-Key Score. The sessionizers, which were sold back under the brands of Naris and Verint to Verizon and Boeing originally. And I've lost track
again,
of it. But
speaking of the deep dives and Whitney Webb's research, you know, you quickly dive off into backdoors and, you know, software
right.
double dealing and double and triple agents and all of that kind of nonsense.
Well, the NSA actually has a document that anybody can look up that puts Israel in the threat matrix along with Iran and Russia and China. it's kind of I've made my own meme version. I think I posted it on the RBM Facebook page that is a fill in the blank, you know, and you read the whole thing. Blank is a major threat for weapons of mass destruction and influence operations and all this, and then finally at the bottom of the document it puts them in
right.
that same group of people,
like the old Mad Lib,
like all the rest of our enemies. We're told to hate, you know, Russia, Iran, China, all the adversaries are supposed to be our arch enemies. Well, Israel's in the same batch, in the same paragraph with all them. And I don't think, you know, the operations like Ghislaine Maxwell and Epstein were involved with are just what we're allowed to know about.
Right.
But the RFID thing, a lot of people get alarmed about that. It originally was an 18-digit thing. And, you know, obviously that's 6 times 3, 666. A lot of people were all up in arms about that. A lot of people were all up in arms about the universal product code because the 6 in the first field is two little bars. and that turns out it's the check bits between the middle.
Yeah, we're not going to get into a long history of that. I want to get back on topic.
Okay, so. Well, I'm just saying that these are a lot of false rabbit trails for the mark of the beast, I think. And
what would you say is a genuine rabbit trail?
Well, I think a lot of the people that worship reason or Lucifer, they want to open up the pit of their, you know, where in effect what the Christians would say is the pit where he's been cast into or something. The victory was 2,000 years ago, and he, I hate to break it to them, but they're not going to, I don't believe they're going to establish their age of reason that they want, you know, with new language and obscuring the past. There's a lot of defective technology that they're trying to push on us, and that RFID, like I said, has a capacitor in it. Capacitors have a limited lifespan, so you're going to end up with how many before you die? You know, if you live to 80, how many times will the database get hacked and your RFID? Well, darn it, you know, we got to put another one in there. No, we're not going to take out the old one. So when they scan you, you'll have how many chips in you, and you know, and eventually they'll quit working because the capacitor dies.
We're dealing with ends and means, and most people don't realize that at the highest levels, I mean, it's what Jordy Rose has spoken to on others. It's a very satanic, very dark agenda that isn't, you know, the stories, the fables that were told are to bring the general public along, but it doesn't concern the general public. It's headed back to Genesis 11 and Genesis 6, and these stories are just to keep people quiet so that there's not a massive revolt or, you know, worldwide insurrection against this kind of stuff. And it's pushing toward what Peter warned about. You know, the first destruction was by water. The next one would be by fire. So, you know, hot enough to consume the elements. And these people are pushing in a satanic agenda to essentially try to escape that judgment through
all right, 500
information.
400 years ago, what were the elements? What were the elements to people 400 years ago when the Bible was translated into street English?
It's irrelevant. The elements were the same as they are today.
No, it's not the periodic table of the elements that the earth is made out of.
Which is a very Kabbalistic table,
right,
by the way.
They were pagan elements, but they're also elements of the faith. And what elements would have been melted 2,000 years ago?
Incorrect. Not even going to go down that path. Anyway.
Well, earth, wind, fire, and
nope.
Water and
nope.
That stuff is the pagan elements. But they didn't know about the periodic table of the elements 400 years ago when it was translated.
Sure, we can split hairs over semantics. Irrelevant.
It's not, well, they called the inner rooms, heavens, and earth, and he said not to seek for me in the inner rooms. Well, those inner rooms haven't been around for 2,000 years, so he was only speaking to those people that could have sought for him in the inner rooms.
And I'm still going to say what I'm saying, so.
Yeah.
Anyway, well, we got another call I got to get to. I appreciate it, Mike, as always. Much appreciated. Yeah, you know, in this, well, there's more. I'm not going to do that right now. Let's go back to the phones. Jay in Los Angeles, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Hey, how you doing? I appreciate you talking about all the Israeli espionage and spying and everything. I've been trying to tell more people about this, and it's very difficult because the programming is so hard. You know, we have all the Holocaust stuff. And
let me, if I may, just give you my own experience. So, just to validate what you're saying, there is one friend, one dear friend in particular that I have, and for about 10 years we had conversations where I would say, you know, I think it's real interesting if you look into Genesis chapter 10. First of all, the names are really interesting. You know, we hear about Ashkenaz and who his grandfather was, which was not Shem. So he's not a Shemite. Ashkenaz was not a Shemite. And therefore, if I don't like Ashkenaz and I don't like his descendants, It doesn't mean that I don't like Shem. I'm not an anti-Shemite. So that's interesting. Why is that term used? What's going on there? But also, you know, when you look at Ezekiel 38 and different, you know, passages in Revelation and stuff, the names in Genesis 10, you know, it's, we get caught up in this nations thing. And to me, to help contextualize what's going on better, it looks more like a familial turf war if you go back to Genesis 10. And so that's interesting. And so we're talking about this, and I said, you know, for 10 years, when you, you know, he says, Chris, you know, we start talking about this Israel thing, and he says, Chris, don't you love Israel? Don't you support Israel? And I say, yes, of course, but let's define terms. Which Israel are we talking about? Because I'm convinced that this thing on the international stage that we're told is Israel, I'm convinced it's a biblical counterfeit. And what's my evidence of that? You know, he says, you know, people will say, well, the Bible tells us in a day, you know, after all of this time, after these thousands of years, you know, in a day, God will restore it. Well, that's not what happened on the international stage. It was a process of about 100 years or so, at least 60. And Theodore Herzl was the guy at the first Zionist Congress in 1897 who said the biggest accomplishment here is that, you know, the state of Israel will emerge, basically. And he said not in 30, maybe not in 40, but certainly in 50 years. And basically 50 years to the day after he said that, voila, and you have the acquisition of land by Baron Edmund de Rothschild, who's a known Zionist at the time. You have William E. Blackstone, and, you know, all of these, the Louis Brandeis and Balfour and the Balfour Declaration, the British Mandate, and all of this kind of stuff happening behind the scenes that gets left out of that discussion. And so you're telling me that all of these people that are on a very dark agenda are actually doing God's work? Really? And the reason I mention my story is because for 10 years we had this conversation, and I could just see no matter what fact I gave him, it would bounce off every time for 10 years. And this is a, you know, very, very intelligent guy who was not opposed to having this discussion and wanted to understand what I was saying, and still, like you're saying, wouldn't go in because of the propaganda.
Totally. Well, to just add another layer to that, I mean, I think mm-hmm. what we have here is the Revelation 2:9 and 3:9, the synagogue mm-hmm. of Satan, fake Jews and stuff.
Yeah.
But to compound the issue, everything you're saying is exactly right. But I'm dealing with some people who are very educated and smart, but don't have the religious component. So talking about the Bible doesn't register with them. I was wondering mm-hmm. if there was sort of if you had kind of a survivalist, you know, basic elevator pitch, what would cut through some of that ice? It is a long process because people are just so programmed. You cannot talk about this tribe, you know? So I was wondering,
Yeah.
Like, I know the Pollard stuff is pretty damning, you know, mm-hmm. the Liberty attack.
Yeah.
Again,
the 9/11 stuff, the, pardon?
The Building 7 stuff?
No, the stuff that I was talking about earlier, there's the, Michael Collins Piper and folks, you know, there's the Amdocs, Converse, Infosys, the spying that I was talking about. We were going to play the clip, the Carl Cameron clip. We won't get to that today, but there's all of that stuff. There's, Christopher Bolin is probably the best. I don't know if you've done much. So, you know, the fact that you have guys like Menachem Begin saying, you know, in the early days of the creation of the State of Israel, that they are the real terrorists.
Mm-hmm.
The Irgun, the Stern Gang, you know, all of those guys, and that this new generation of folks are, you know, if you look up revisionist Zionism, Benzion Netanyahu, BB and all of those guys are, you know, cut from this revisionist Zionist cloth. And what does that mean? It's very, very dark, very Faustian, I would say, very Machiavellian, actually. You know, kill or be killed. Wait, let us kill you before you try to kill us. And in the most sinister and underhanded kind of way. There's all of that stuff, you know, Chris Bullin's stuff, Perloff's work, Michael Collins Piper.
I'll go through some of the things you mentioned and try to, you know, rehash some of it. I appreciate you doing this show today.
You know, this is a really difficult subject, and I appreciate you bringing it up, and we touch on it from time to time, and it's, you know, again, this is part of a deeper, darker rabbit hole. Bill Cooper said some stuff about this, too. And I would say, Bill Cooper, you know, I have mentioned maybe playing some clips of Cooper, you know, talking about it's not, you know, when he was asked specifically, and I remember there was one point, you know, there were several, but there was one point where a caller asked him, you know, but what about the Jews? And he said, it's not the Jews. Very, you know, chiding the caller. You know, he says, it's not the Jews. It's the mystery school initiates, which correlates to the ancient Babylonian mystery religion. And the difficulty is that, you know, if you're talking to people who consider themselves educated and erudite and don't understand the religious aspect, the challenge is it's all religious. And there is a religious component, whether we're talking about, you know, the orthodoxy of religion, you know, whether we're talking about Judaism or whatever, there's a religious component to it, because as you get into those mystery schools that Cooper was talking about, there's the Kabbalistic element, which is religious. There is the Hermetic aspect of it. That's kind of the mystical, symbolic side that even guys like Michio Kaku say, hey, I'm a Kabbalist. Sure. So you're saying that to be a high-level theoretical physicist, you have to be a Kabbalist? And Michio Kaku will say, absolutely. The two go together hand in hand. You can find that clip on YouTube of all of those theoretical physicists saying, oh, yeah, the Kabbalah is great. We study it to understand theoretical physics. And there's that side. Then there's the Gnostic side, which is also, you know, obviously very religious. And I would say the fusion of all of that is the sort of apex is represented in the theosophical bent and sort of headquartered in a sense at Lucius Trust. So to really understand what's going on, you have to at least entertain the possibility of the religious aspect of what's going on, because it is very religious. And again, if it's not, then what is revisionist Zionism all about? And what is the history of these? And so to try to explain a little bit more, what do you mean, especially with regard to this people group? I've talked about, and I think Bill Cooper was pretty good at mentioning this. There are others. Michael Hoffman is another one in the crypto, the occult cryptocracy kind of thing. With regard to this people group, there's an interesting thing that happens. If you read Romans in particular, and chapter 10 and chapter 11, 9, 10, 11, I would say, and what Paul says in Romans 11, 25, I would not have you ignorant of this mystery, brethren, that a partial hardening of the heart of Israel has happened until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. And he deals with this prior to Romans 11, 25 as a way to explain how this mystery has occurred, that, you know, God's chosen people of the Old Testament, the keepers of the oracles of God and all this kind of stuff, the heart of this people has been hardened to allow the grafting in of the wild olive branch. So praise God for that, for the rest of us. But what does that portend for that people group? Does that make them susceptible to things so that maybe the wolf masquerading in sheep's clothing, like you mentioned, Revelation 2:9 and 3:9, that can masquerade among these people and say, you know, call themselves Jews when they're not, and basically, you know, take advantage of the hardening of the heart of these people. And also, I think that hardness of heart belies a paranoia that I always think of with regard to Carl Cameron's piece. Like I read, you know, when Cameron says that the Israelis are motivated by strong survival instincts, I think that's been weaponized and used against them. And there is a belief system that is taken advantage of here with certain people, and the wolf is, you know, great at taking advantage of that and then masquerading as, you know, the victim, so to speak.
Do you believe, I want to take up your whole show, I just was wondering if you believe the Kazali theory, and the other thing is wondering, do you believe that there's a cabal at the top of this thing rather than a bunch of just kind of like a general, you know, Ashkenazi agenda that everyone's following? Is there, I believe that there is sort of like some kind of group that's radiating their instructions to everybody.
Absolutely. Yeah, you can read about it in the Externalization of the Hierarchy, channeled work by Alice Bailey. You can read about it in the work of the Hierarchy on Lucius Trust and those kinds of things. And it's, that's why I say it's a spiritual battle. It's the so-called ascended masters. It's demonic influence, and Ashkenazi is almost a straw man sort of red herring in a sense, in that sense. It's it's bigger than mankind.
It's distracting from the real issue.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you so much for the time. I really appreciate it.
You bet. Thank you, Jay, for the call. I appreciate it. Much appreciated. Back to the phones. James in Brooklyn. Thanks for calling. Welcome.
I haven't spoken in a long time. Just very quickly to sum up what you've been talking about, some people will find it hard to understand. But the secular state of Israel is just like a foundation, the beginning of a culmination that ends with the Jewish theocratic kingdom of Israel. And it's a slow process, and it starts off with these atheistic secular Zionists, and it's like birth pangs, as it's described in the Talmud. And I want to mention also that Ashkenazim and Sephardim, everybody follows the same Torah. We have the same custom, except for a few customs, and we follow the same rules. It's not genetics; it's religion, more so.
Right. Right.
Yes.
And that,
but
again, I
just want to say, Chris, people who do not understand about the process of the Jewish theocratic kingdom of Israel will be continually disappointed and frustrated.
Yep. That's a great point. I appreciate it, James. Absolutely. I agree 100%. And again, that is a big part of what I meant by the exploitation. And, you know, there's a lot more to say on that, obviously. I appreciate it, James. Appreciate it, callers. Folks, I hope it was informative. As always, it truly is an honor and a pleasure. Take care. God bless. We'll catch you on the other side.
American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Many more Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.